Christ is risen. And because Christ is risen, we who have put our faith in Jesus shall also rise to eternal life. And therefore, we rejoice. Today, as a family of faith, we meet together and we focus on these events of Easter Sunday. And we celebrate with the church family all around the world and in every generation with the joyful news, Christ is risen. Today, as we listen to the stories of the firsthand witnesses, we can identify with the characters, with the human feelings of loss, weeping, and bewilderment, and then followed by such wonderful joy as Jesus began to appear, first to the women, to the couple on the road to Emmaus, and to the disciples. As the hearts of those first witnesses swell, so we find our own hearts swelling with joy and praise and adoration as our hearts are lifted. For these first witnesses, days earlier, grief had pierced their hearts. But now, even deeper than their grief comes joy. The healing of their hearts, the souls that rise with the knowledge of the risen Lord. I think that those who first looked into that empty tomb, who met with the risen Lord, for them, their day was filled more with emotion than with theology. Their hearts raced, their souls raced ahead of their minds and their reason. They were caught up in the moment. They were overwhelmed by the wonder of these events. Theology would come later, when Jesus would again appear to them and talk with them and explain to them from the scriptures that these things had to be. And even later still, when those like the Apostle Paul reflected on the meaning of these events. But in this initial moment, it was sheer joy and relief, wonder and delight that Jesus was risen. And so we enter into that joy, that exuberant praise that also fills our hearts. Like the couple on the road to Emmaus, we find our hearts are strangely warmed because of the presence of the living Lord Jesus, come to us by the power of his Spirit in our lives. And this resonates in our souls. And as the people of God, we have this inner witness, this confident faith, because Christ is risen, we too will rise. Well, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything for everyone. There in that weekend, from the Passover meal, the arrest, the execution, the burial, and the resurrection, we see the power of God at work for all who will believe. That moment in time stands in witness, stands in judgment of all humanity. For those who believe, the resurrection is proof that God has power to save. For those who do not believe, the resurrection is firstly an invitation to turn and follow Jesus. If nothing else would convince you, then be convinced by the risen Lord Jesus. Alternatively, for those who persist in denial and disbelief, it is a warning of judgment to come, because we will all appear before his throne. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." As we look at the events of this day, we come to realize that the power of God that was at work in raising Jesus from the dead validates all that Jesus taught. All his words, all his teaching are given to us by God. It validates all that Jesus did. His miraculous signs are witnesses to us that aid our belief and underline God's power at work in Christ. And it validates who Jesus is. All of his claims, his claim to be the way, his claim to be the true vine, to be the light, his claim to be able to forgive sin. All of this and so much more proven by his resurrection. Well, the day started out with Mary going to the tomb. She thought to tend to a lifeless body. And finding the tomb empty, she exclaimed to Peter, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." She was looking for Jesus, but expecting a lifeless body. If he wasn't in the tomb, then logically someone must have moved him, because bodies don't move themselves. And we sense in her words this hopelessness and despair. Not only is Jesus dead, now his body is lost. This is agony added to agony. A short time later, when she did see Jesus, she mistook him for the gardener. After all, she was still looking for a body. Her hope in that moment was that the gardener might have moved the body or known who had and be able to tell her. And so she said to the person she thought was the gardener, "Tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." There is determination in her grief. She couldn't settle for an unknown, unmarked grave, or worse still, that somehow in death, Jesus' body might be disrespected. But then Jesus spoke to her. And in the use of her name, she recognized that it was Jesus standing before her. She would later say to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She had gone to the tomb expecting to see one thing. In fact, she came away from the tomb knowing that she had seen another. She had seen the risen Lord Jesus. I'm moved by the tenderness of Jesus' words to Mary. He said to her, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, my Father and your Father." These are words that embrace. These are words that include Mary. These are words of assurance and connection. These are words that affirm Mary's relationship with God the Father, my Father, and your Father. These are words of belonging, belonging in the family of God the Father. These are words of comfort. As the Father loves me, Jesus would say, the Father loves you. These are also words of destination. Eternity in the presence of God the Father, to whom Jesus would ascend. My Father and your Father, my God and your God. This is the assurance that is given to everyone who believes. Jesus had already said to his disciples, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." The fullness of the resurrection of Jesus, what it meant, was later explained by the Apostle Paul. He wrote about the supremacy of Jesus, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, of Jesus through whom all things were created, of Jesus the firstborn to rise from among the dead, of Jesus in whom was the fullness of God, Jesus the one who came to reconcile us to God, through the shedding of his blood on the cross. Jesus, the one who is able to make peace between God and humanity, between God who is holy and those who were alienated from him as his enemies. Jesus is the one who is able to transform those blemished, covered by sin, and transform them to present them faultless before God. Now we are in the wonderful situation of being able to look at the risen Lord Jesus through the lens that Paul gives us in his theology. The eyewitnesses like Mary and Peter and John were yet to fully learn what we have had explained to us through the scriptures. We have been taught of the supremacy of Christ, and through faith, we see the risen Lord in whom the fullness of God dwells. We recognize in him the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world, who brings reconciliation between sinful humanity and God who is holy. Well, what difference does this make to us? Some people, even in our day, are still expecting a lifeless body. Of course, they no longer look for it, assuming it is long lost, and so they are content to think that perhaps the bones of Jesus lay buried in some unknown, never-to-be-found grave in Palestine. We gather today because, having followed Mary to the tomb, having lingered with her at the entrance, in her story, we too have seen the risen Lord Jesus. And he speaks to us saying, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. In the risen Lord, we are introduced to our Heavenly Father, the one true God. And through this and the other gospel stories, the experience of the early church, the writers of Scripture, Paul and John and Peter, we discover the reality of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us. And as we discover who Jesus is, then we discover who we truly are. In the risen Lord, we find salvation. In him, we find purpose as we seek to do the will of our Heavenly Father. In him is our hope for this present day and for the days that lie ahead of us. Therefore, with our sisters and our brothers in the faith, with Christians from every generation, with the angelic host in heaven, we rejoice in our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we echo the words of Scripture. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen.